Father, we pray that you would take these gifts which we've given and use them to extend your kingdom here in Crowborough and throughout the earth. And we pray now that you would speak to us from your word, the Bible, and help us to see what it has to say to us in 21st century life today. To the glory of your name. Amen. Well, I would be grateful if you would take those Bibles again, the green or red ones if you're in the front, and turn right towards the back of the Bible where the numbers start again to page 199. Page 199, right at the back of the Bible. And for those of you who are not regulars here, we put up on the screen an outline of the sermon. And for those who find it helpful, as I do, not all do, of course, there are notebooks and pencils in the seat pockets in front of you. You can use this to take notes on the sermon, or alternatively, you can look as if you're taking notes on the sermon, but actually be writing your to-do list for the week ahead. So that's entirely up to you. The notebooks and pens are there for you to use if you want. Today we begin an exciting series of sermons, at least I think it's exciting, because this is a series of sermons which will equip us, the church family here, to help others find Christ. I am not a multi-skilled person, so when I learn a new skill, I am really delighted. Whether it's something new on the computer, my daughter taught me something new this morning, or how to cook more than my staple diet of scrambled egg, or how to windsurf. And this series of sermons, this week and next, and then after a break, four more, is to teach you a new skill. So that if you listen carefully and put into practice what you hear, someone in Crowborough by next summer may have found Christ, partly through you. You may have helped a friend become a new Christian. And this skill will, under God, be with you for life. That could be very, very exciting. What we who are committed Christians long for is an open door in our witness for Christ. If we could have another click as well. Brilliant. Think of any members of your family who are not yet committed Christians. Your brother or sister, your parents perhaps, for some of us our children, or our wife or husband. If we have found Christ, then our greatest desire for them is that they should find Christ. Think of your friends who are not yet Christians, people to whom you feel close. Some of them you've known from childhood, from school or from college. Some have become good friends since you moved to this area. But again, if we know and love Jesus Christ, we're going to long that they should find Christ. And yet many of us don't yet know how to help them in a way that is natural and is not pushy. It seems as if the door is closed for our witness. Now, the New Testament in several passages talks about doors opening. We're going to look at some of them this morning. And let me tell you in advance their basic message: God opens doors. God always has opened doors. I wouldn't be a Christian today, and you wouldn't if you are, if that wasn't part of what God does. And as we trust him, God is still opening doors today. The first passage we'll look about is all about praying for an open door. Let me read again, and you can follow it here on page 199 of the New Testament sections. The letter to the Colossians, chapter 4, this is in the second, the right-hand column, and beginning where there's a new paragraph where it says just 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, says St. Paul. Keep alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ for which I'm in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly as I should. Now, there it is in verse 3. Pray for us that God will open to us a door for the word. That is, for passing on the message of Christ. I wonder if you've ever tried to open a door that is jammed or locked shut. The other day, I couldn't get our garden door open. The key just wouldn't properly turn in the lock. And after several frustrating attempts, I called for my wife. She is far more practical than I am. But she couldn't manage it either. And in the end, we had to call in a locksmith. It was beyond us. But he managed it easily. And St. Paul tells us here, it is God who opens doors for effective Christian witness. We can't do it, but God certainly can. And we need to pray, says the Apostle Paul, that he will. He will unlock people's hearts and minds as you pray. Some of you here may have heard of David Watson. He was my first boss. He was appointed to a very run-down parish in York, and for the first 6 months, he threw himself into parish visiting. But at the end of that time, not a single new person had come to church. So he and his wife got together, and they decided to set aside one day a week for praying and reading the Bible and asking God to work in power. The very first week he did it, in fact, the day after the first day that he did it, someone knocked at the door and said, I want to know how I can become a Christian. And the church grew from 20 or 30 to about 1,000 from there. Recently, I've been rather discouraged because we, over the last 2 or 3 years, we've not been growing as a church. Now, my practice is to read the Bible and pray in the morning, each day. But I felt that God has been asking me to set aside some additional time at lunchtime to pray for our Christian witness each day, to pray for an open door for my witness to my friends and for the Christian message in Crowborough. And it's been wonderful to see the first answers to that prayer over these last weeks and months. I want to invite you, if you're a regular member here, to join me, to set aside some minutes at lunchtime or at another time, if you prefer, that God will, as verse 3 puts it, open for you a door for the word, and that wonderfully he will begin to give you opportunities for effective witness. Praying for an open door. The next passage we're going to look at talks about finding an open door. And I'm going to ask you to turn back just 20 pages or so, 20 pages further towards the beginning of the book, to page 174, still in the New Testament section at the back of the Bible, page 174, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, in this passage, Paul is writing to the Corinthian Christians about his travel plans. He says he's longing to see them. And then he adds this. This is chapter 16, again, the right-hand column of page 174, verses 8 and 9. He says, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. It's there in verse 9. God does open a wide door for effective work. Not all the time, but he did for Paul in Ephesus, which is why he wanted to stay there to keep on witnessing to the people who were becoming interested. Greg, again, you'll help this guy, I'm sure. And he will open doors for us, not with everyone or in every place. It may be if you're a Christian and you just long to share what you've discovered of Jesus that you get nowhere with your neighbors, but you do with your friends. Or you seem to have very few opportunities for witness in Crowborough, but many at work. And there may at the same time be people who attack your Christian faith or are sarcastic about it. Paul says at the end of verse 9, and there are many adversaries. But God did open for Paul a wide door for effective work in Ephesus, and we need to expect that he will for us, if we're committed Christians, among at least some of our friends. This week I went door-to-door visiting with my daughter Sophie. We only visited two homes. And one man, actually I have had this experience very rarely, but one man was almost rude. He did answer the questionnaire, but as negatively as he possibly could. I put out my hand when I introduced myself to shake his hand, and he resolutely ignored it and refused even to shake my hand and say hello. But with the other man, God sent us at just the right time. Now, I can't tell you, it wouldn't be appropriate, but I can't tell you very much, but things had happened in his life, which meant that over the last 12 months, he had twice been to church here on Remembrance Sunday and on Father's Day. We gave him a copy of Mark's Gospel and urged him to read it slowly. He said very warmly at the end of the conversation that he would. We gave him a copy of the guide. He said that he might well come to some other services. It's early days still, but God is opening a door. Incidentally, John T. and others, you'll be pleased to hear, there was someone at 9:15 who was here for the first time who'd been contacted door to door. Before I went on holiday, I telephoned a few friends to invite them onto the course that Nikki told us about, the Christianity Explored course. One whom I've specially been praying for said a flat no. I was disappointed. But someone else who has nothing to do with All Saints said, put my name down. And over the 10 weeks of the course, I'm praying that God will open the door wide. In November, John Chapman, Chapo, will be here for our Lifesaver Festival. If you're a visitor here today and living in Crowborough, you will certainly hear about it. It'll be plastered all over the place. I suspect the times when he will most powerfully speak will be the two Sundays he's preaching, including here at 10:45, and the men's and women's breakfasts. I'll invite people. If you're regular here, you'll invite people too. Some will refuse. Very occasionally one will be hostile. But the God of the Bible is one who opens a wide door for effective work. Let's expect that he will. And the third passage is the most exciting of all. It talks of people, of seeing people walk through an open door. Turn back a further 30 pages or so to page 130, Acts chapter 14. And right at the bottom of the right-hand column of that page, page 130, Paul with his friend Barnabas came back to their home base, to their church in Antioch. Now look at verse 27. When they arrived, they called the church together and related all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith for the Gentiles. And they stayed there with the disciples for some time. Now, what do Paul and his friends mean when they say God has opened a door of faith for the Gentiles? They don't just mean God had given them opportunities to speak about Jesus. They don't just mean God encouraged them to invite Gentiles as well as Jews to become Christians. They mean God gave those Gentiles faith in Jesus and enabled them by faith to walk through the door into God's kingdom. And just to underline that's what they meant, look across at chapter 15, the next page, verse 3. So it says, Paul and Barnabas were sent on their way by the church, and as they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, they reported the conversion of the Gentiles and brought great joy to all the believers. In other words, when God opens a door of faith, it means people are converted. So God works with us to lead people through the open door, to lead people to Jesus. Now you may say, hold on a minute, Andrew, haven't you put it rather arrogantly? Don't you mean God works through us? Well, look again at verse 27, chapter 14. It says, they related all that God had done with them. As one commentator explains it, all that God had done in fellowship and cooperation with them. You and I could not possibly lead anyone through the open door without God. God could lead people through without us, and occasionally does, but normally he works with us. And as he works, we need to rejoice. Just as chapter 15, verse 3 says, the news of conversions brought great joy to all the believers. So when a friend of yours walks through the open door to Jesus Christ, please, if you can, share the news with us to encourage us and so that we can rejoice with your friend and with you. When I first became a Christian as a young student, I joined a weekly prayer group where each week we prayed for each other's friends to become Christians and rejoiced when there was any progress. That's where I learned that God opens the door of faith to other people. It's one of the things that will be most enriching for those who join the cell groups, or whatever we call them, which we'll be launching after Easter. Because in these weekly home groups, one of the main things we'll be doing is praying for and seeking to share the good news with each other's friends. And I expect that this autumn, with the Lifesaver Festival, we as a church family will have the joy of seeing God working with us to lead many people through that open door. And this is not just God working with other people, it is God working with you. So in these last few minutes, let me ask, will you trust God to open an effective door for your witness? I'm not asking, will you trust God to open an effective door for John T. Frith's witness, or Irena Morrison's witness, or Sarah Holcomb's? One of the things I've learned over this summer season of going door to door is that some of the most experienced visitors have done okay, but there haven't been any particular breakthroughs. And God has opened the doors particularly to some of the least experienced of those who've gone out to witness for Christ. So, will you pray for God to open doors for you to witness? And will you expect that amongst some of your friends, not all of them, but amongst one or two or some, he is opening doors? And will you work with God by the invitations you give using these little cards that are on the seats to come on a Sunday, or the invitations to the Lifesaver Festival? Will you work with God to help people through that door into his kingdom? Now, I'm conscious that there may be some here for whom all this talk of open doors is quite new and even perhaps slightly distasteful. I assure you that we in this church have no desire whatsoever to ram the Christian message down the throat of someone who simply doesn't want to hear it. But for many of us here, we have at some stage in our life discovered that the message of Jesus Christ is so exciting and so liberating that we long for our friends to think about it and, if possible, to discover Jesus Christ for themselves. And for those of us who do feel this way, the message of this first sermon is God opens doors. To understand that is the first part of learning a new skill, a skill which we will be given as we practice it. And the time to begin practicing is tomorrow. Let's pray.